we had the opportunity to meet Prince Al-Walid.
Mm.
And I was so scared. I was young. I was, you know, I did not understand business very well. He was, you know, a business magnate. And I remember he asked me a question. He said, why would I give you the account? Why would I give you business? You're a small company. We are a global NGO. We communicate globally and internationally. Why would I give you the business? You have a small company, 7-8 people. And I remember I answered and I said, Your Highness, if we do not deliver, don't pay us. But if we deliver, we demand more business. And he started to laugh. And then he said, let's sign on this. I was like, okay, let's sign on this.
Marketing, as I know it today, the first thing that comes to mind is social media campaigns, yeah. Which weren't really a thing.
Yes, of course. At that time, a campaign would look like, when we say a 360 campaign or a whole campaign at that time, during 2007 and 8, it was TV, radio, and print. And when we say print, we have magazine and newspapers. And that was the whole 360 ecosystem. As we speak today, of course, things has evolved and has changed. If we look at digital, for example, today, and the change of the digital game, what did it allow exactly? In my opinion, it opened a whole revenue stream for the industry, because now you're starting to see SMEs being able to advertise.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Majlis, brought to you in collaboration with Arab News. Today I have with me Abir Al-Isa. Thank you so much for being here today, Abir.
Hi Yasmin, it's a pleasure to be here today.
Abir is the CEO of the Bold Group, which is a made in Saudi creative and communications powerhouse. And she's here with us today to talk about being a creative as early as the 2000s in Saudi, looking to today, and then as well the future of what marketing and creativity looks like in the kingdom and in the GCC region and even globally. So before we get started talking about the market overall, we'd love to hear from you, Abir, about what inspired you to get into this field and to be an entrepreneur in this field in the early pre-vision days of Saudi.
Well, first of all, thank you so much again, Yasmin, for having me today. Majlis is an amazing podcast. You have amazing episodes that I watched previously. And getting into the industry itself and how it started. So basically, the inception of Bold was around 13 years ago, to be specific, in 2011. I used to work in multinational agencies at that time. And during that time, the whole industry was dominated by these large multinational conglomerates, and I would say not just in Saudi, but globally. But yet again, I believe as well in that time, we had very, very few Saudis working in that industry. There weren't enough awareness about the industry itself. I remember when I first started my first job, or when I first started with the agency, or that marketing creative agency, it was the first time I've heard of the term itself. So it wasn't very, I would say, common. So after working in that agency for a couple of years, we saw a big gap in the market, to be honest. The whole industry was dominated by these multinationals, and they were mainly focused on these large giga accounts. And let's just take a little bit of a step back. When we say marketing and communications at that time, the spenders were mainly three industries, automotive, banking, and telecom. So they were the biggest spenders at that time. SMEs did not care into creativity communications at that time. And obviously, government wasn't a big engine in that area.
Right, because, I mean, it wasn't even marketing as I know it today, the first thing that comes to mind is social media campaigns, yeah, which weren't really a thing.
Yes, of course. At that time, a campaign would look like, when we say a 360 campaign or a whole campaign at that time, during 2007 and 8, it was TV, radio, and print. And when we say print, we have magazine and newspapers. And that was the whole 360 ecosystem. As we speak today, it, of course, things has evolved and has changed. But if we go back a little bit onto the industry and the start of the story, so we saw a certain gap in the market. These multinational and conglomerates did not focus on smaller businesses. Their main focus was larger accounts and larger. And then we had another layer, actually, of agencies which was too small, too tiny. I don't know if any of your listeners here would know the, shops, small printing shops in Sulaymaniyah, or so there was a big gap between these multinationals and these small shops that mainly did design and printing. And also, we saw a big gap in cultural understanding. So these multinationals were very disattached from the culture itself. It did not, campaigning, communications did not reflect the reality of the culture, whether it was visual, written, so on and so forth. So we decided to leave and start our own shop, as they say. And that was the start of the story. It was in 2011. We decided to leave, fulfill that gap in the industry. We started as two people, Mohammed and I at that time. He handled the creative. I handled the business side. Though, bear in mind, I come from a creative background. I never came from a business background. It wasn't what I did during my past years. I was always a creative person. When I left, actually, my job and decided to open the company, I went and did my master's and did the business side of things just to give me some self-confidence, I would say. And that was the start of the story. Mohammed and I, small office, tiny office, just one table. And it grew as we speak today. The Bold Group consists of 7 subsidiaries within that is end-to-end in the communications and creative industry. And we consist of around 140 to 150 people.
MashaAllah. And it's easy, I think, now to look at the company and say, of course, it succeeded. That was always going to be the end game. But I'm sure in the beginning, I mean, it was you guys, and as you said, fighting against multinational conglomerates. So what did you think was going to give you the edge? How did you plan on succeeding, which you did?
To be honest, if you want the honesty, at that time, we didn't have a plan. I'll be very frank and honest. Our plan was we just wanted to do great work. We wanted to do something disruptive. We wanted our work to shine. But if you ask me at that time, looking 13 years back, 14 years back, did we have a clear plan of the business and how it's going to grow? To be honest, it wasn't like that at all. The idea was we just wanted to start our own shop. We enjoyed working. Our vision, basically, was our passion. And that's it. That was the start, and that was the beginning. I never envisioned to grow. And to be honest, I believe we shouldn't underestimate the power of the vision. The Vision 2030. I believe the Vision 2030 has really changed the private sector and the entrepreneurs and how they perceive growth and business. My biggest lesson from the, or what I have learned and or what inspired me really to grow, is the possibility of dreaming. We had an opportunity and there was an availability and to basically dream. And they were telling me, just dream and we can do it. So that changed everything. the inception of the vision really changed everything in how we saw business, how we thought, what are the possibilities. And that was basically the kickoff of our growth story, I would say.
The vision is one catalyst. Yeah. It's also, I mean, as we mentioned earlier, the industry changed so much.
Absolutely.
Since the time you entered it to where you are now. How did you roll with that? How do you change and adapt as things change?
So if we look at the landscape of the business itself, so as you said, like when we first started in from 2011 till 2015, the dominance was the international multinational agencies and companies. After the vision, we started seeing a flood of local independent companies. And this is when we felt, yes, it is getting really competitive. Mm. There is a pressure to grow. And the whole landscape, when we talk about from the customer side or the client side, started to prefer working with local independent companies rather than the international companies. And we started to see more growth in spending. We started to see more events coming into Saudi. We started to see more investments coming from abroad to Saudi. Obviously, the competition has increased. The opportunities has increased. And this is when we said, when we decided, if we want to grow, there has to be growth vertically and horizontally within the industry. And another important point, Yasmin, I think, is specialization. Previously, the companies at that time used to do everything. A jack of all trades were marketing. Marketing is vague. And I'm sure many of the people who are listening might not understand how deep and specialized. And there are lots of sub niches and sub-specializations within the industry. So we started to see, you know, there is a bigger demand for specialization as well. You know, there isn't a single company that can do everything. And that was the start of our decision, is that we are going to grow, and our growth is going to happen within multiple niches within the industry, so we can cover end-to-end projects without losing basically the quality of the work that we are trying to produce.
And the nature of the work changes as well. So when you're going from primarily TV, print, radio, to social media, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, how do you think about that as a creative?
So today, we the way we see it is, at the end of the day, it's a business, like any other business. It's an industry, like any other industry. And the industry evolves, right? It happens in banking, for example. You know, it started with, you know, retail banking, and now you're seeing all these fintech companies and digital banks and so on and so forth. So I believe the whole world is changing, and we are every single industry is basically evolving, and the communications and creative industry is part of that world. So if we say that previously we used to talk about print, TV, radio, and then basically the web came in, websites came in. And then, you know, it started to be very important to have websites and online and, you know, e-commerce as well. And then we started seeing social media coming in. And I think that was a very a pivotal moment or era of our industry. And this is when we saw lots of companies just shut down and fell who couldn't adapt and innovate. And we saw many companies on the rise. And we feel that we are in a similar area right now with all the artificial intelligence subject. Mm-hmm. And so we're re-entering this era again. And I think any company has to basically adapt, change, invest in the future as well as in the current. So yeah, this is how I perceive the change that has happened. And I believe As a company, I think whoever is listening to us today who has an agency or is willing to enter this industry, and I believe it's always important, at least this is something that I learned by experience, it's always important to have a single client that truly believes in you and is willing to try and adapt and innovate and try new things with you to create these success stories that you can later basically replicate.
And these clients, what do they look like in Saudi? So have they evolved on their end? Was it easier to work with people earlier? Was it harder?
In which sense?
So I'm thinking pre-vision, did people even feel the need to do a lot of advertising?
So I think, let's be honest. So pre-vision, as I said, the whole industry was led, the spending at least, was led by banking, automotive, and telecom. Example, a shop, a small shop, or a bakery, or an Instagram account, can just go online, put $100 budget and start promoting to the right specific audiences that they are targeting, and they are able to have a return on their investment. So I believe what happened with digital today, it just opened the channels for everybody to basically have the ability to advertise and communicate and market basically themselves. The digital is getting a little bit cluttered. It's very competitive. But yet still it has a lot of basically disadvantages as well.
Interesting. So it goes from sort of mass marketing when you're talking billboards to hyper-personalized.
Absolutely. Yeah, a small shop or a smaller company did not or could not afford going outdoor or print or magazines. The prices were ridiculous, by the way.
And as someone who's now, been through a ton of trial and error, what were some of the early wins, the early challenges you had in setting this up?
So I still remember like the first couple of clients that we had. And I remember an interesting story. When we first got our first deal, it was 30,000 riyal. That was the bill, the invoice. And I looked at Mohammed and I was like, Mohammed, that's too much. Do you think it's going to be approved? So I remember the first days. We had lots of, I would say, transformative periods within our journey. For example, I remember our first retainer client who signed with us an actual contract and not like a small job that is for 5,000 or 6,000 riyal at our start and at our beginning. Then I remember that was luxury events tour. It was called luxury events, and they were young people, and they were doing lots of events. I would say comedy events back in 2012 and 13, and we used to do all these crazy communications with them. So that was our first, I would say, contract. That was amazing because I think we were able to express our creativity, matching it with, urban, cool Saudi culture designs and communications, because they were doing stand-up comedy and Saudi stand-up comedians. So we had this ability to showcase our skills that we understand comedy, we understand Saudi, we understand urban, cool, industry that they are trying to basically communicate. And as you know, Saudi was different at that time. Another important milestone of our journey, I think, was Al Waleed Philanthropies. It's a non-profit NGO. It's an interesting story, actually. That was our first contract, and I remember we were 7 people at the office at that time, 8 at max, a tiny, small company. And they had a contract with a large, conglomerate, international company. And I remember I went to it was basically a creative pitch. And we went all in. We had nothing to lose at that time. And after that, we were shortlisted. And we had the opportunity to meet Prince Al-Waleed. And I was so scared. I was young. I did not understand business very well. He was, a business magnate. And I remember he asked me a question. He said, why would I give you the account? Why would I give you business? You're a small company. We are a global NGO. We communicate globally and internationally. Why would I give you the business? You have a small company, 7-8 people. And I remember I answered and I said, Your Highness, if we do not deliver, don't pay us. But if we deliver, we demand more business. And he started to laugh. And then he said, let's sign on this. I was like, okay, let's sign on this. And that was a very important pivotal moment of our journey as a company. We had the opportunity. And if you remember when I was telling you that you always need that one client that truly believes in you and that you can adapt and do these trials and try new things and is open to creativity and innovation. And that actually client is Al-Waleed Philanthropies. They've been our client and with us for now for about 12 years now. So... yeah, I mean, I hope I did not shift a lot from your question. No. That's what I meant.
So he did end up paying you guys.
Sorry?
He did end up paying.
Yes, he actually ended up giving us more business. And another pivotal moment in our career actually was, or in our journey, was in 2016. 2016, we won Dubai Links Awards. So I don't want to bore you with this, but in our industry, awards are very important. They're for our self-satisfaction, self-ego, etc. So we have these awards called Dubai Links. They're like, you know, the Emmys or the Grammys of our industry. And we won that year 3 awards, and we were named Independent Agency of the Year on the MENA region. So that was a big moment for us. We really got recognized regionally, I would say, after that win. And then I believe another period of transformation was during COVID. We did lots of housekeeping work, and this is when we put a full throttle into our growth plan, and we finalized, you know, where we're heading exactly. And this is, I think that was a great moment for us just to do lots of housekeeping work internally.
Because COVID is also a killer of many.
Yes, companies. Yes, I believe so. But I think the companies who had the ability to adapt and to shift and who took this as an opportunity to do lots of, you know, revisiting your vision and approach. And so we were able to do that during that time.
And just going back to the Prince Al-Waleed story for a second, I think it's very clear when you talk about your value proposition in Saudi, because you're a company made here, you understand the market. When you think about working globally, are you still able to maintain a competitive edge? How, you know, we're still in the phase of the vision where we're building the Saudi brands, and we haven't entered the phase yet of Saudi brands becoming competitive globally.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think this is a very good subject to speak about, because I truly believe in the vision, and I truly believe the opportunity that is going to be the opportunity of Vision 2030 for the private sector. And I think with Saudi envisioning to start exporting services, products, companies abroad, and our vision really goes hand in hand with that. So our objective, and I still believe, Yasmin, that we did not even scratch the surface And I truly believe that we did not even achieve 1%, maybe 2% at max, of what we truly want to achieve. Yes, we do believe that we want to grow, and we want to grow beyond Saudi. And we truly believe that we can. And I believe that private sector as well goes hand in hand with geopolitics. And today, Saudi Arabia and the position of Saudi uniting the whole region and being the power of the whole region. And we are basically presenting in our industry something that goes hand in hand with this approach. We truly believe we can build something that can grow beyond Saudi and to grow with the Saudi brands that are being exported globally.
Well said. And what do you think defines that success? So one element you've already mentioned is having a client that believes in you. Any other things that you would say would, you know, differentiate someone who succeeds in this business versus someone who fails?
Absolutely. Listen, I think a client believing in you is just, you know, is something, is an outcome. And it's not a reason, I think. There isn't a secret recipe of success. I think what's important, what I always say is, I think being passionate and really understanding the business that you're operating. I'm seeing lots of agencies within the industry, whether locally or globally, people entering the industry from a pure, probably business point. What would happen is when you have issues, crises, COVID, force majeure,
and you've got it.
It would be very hard for them to be able to know the tips and tricks and how to basically maneuver around these issues. So I believe the most important thing to basically succeed in this industry, you just need to be passionate about it. You need to believe in it. You need to have a purpose. Or else, I think it's not an easy industry, by the way. It's very hectic, long hours. You know, I remember in the first probably 7-8 years, I never leave the office before 12 a.m., 1 a.m., working, 14 hours, 16 hours per day. So it's not an easy industry. There are easier ways to make money, I think. There are easier industries to basically make money. So I believe what this industry really needs to succeed is being passionate and believing in the industry.
That's another thing when speaking about the difficulties is talent. And that's really what everyone is, you know, whining about in every single industry in Saudi. It's hard to find talent. But especially in the creative industries here, I feel, because the Saudi we grew up in wasn't one that encouraged you or rewarded you for going into the creative industry. Absolutely. Now we are working on training people, but there's a bit of this time where there aren't a lot of people who went into the space.
Absolutely. I think we have one of the challenges that we're currently facing, and we have multiple challenges in the industry. I would say one of the main challenges that every company in this industry is facing is basically whether talent acquisition or talent retention. And the only reason is because, you know, just demand is higher basically than the supply. And what needs to be done is you just need to be patient. And I believe part of our scope as the Bold Group, we're investing a lot in building human capabilities and creativity and trainings, so on and so forth. So I believe there is a mandate on every company today. They should invest time, effort, money in investing in people and talents and resources. And it's going to take time. It's going to take time. And we have to work as well hand in hand with the Ministry of Labor, with the Ministry of Commerce, so on and so forth. Part of my work, Yasmin, that I do aside from I'm so passionate about this industry, by the way, and I truly believe in it. And truly my dream is to see Saudi Arabia as the capital of creativity and communications globally. And this is what I aspire Saudi to be. We can have all the global festivals in here. We can have all the latest trends in the industry coming from Saudi, and that's what I dream of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically our vision in the committee. Part of my work, the board group and managing the organization. But I have another capacity is basically everything that I do that I usually call like more of a CSR approach. My role in the Saudi Chambers, for example, at the advertising committee, is we really try to bridge that basically gap between the private sectors and the issues that we're currently facing, the challenges, and how can we basically solve them. Just talking about challenges and whining about them, I don't think they do anything.
Mm.
So we always have to work together, hand in hand, towards basic solutions. Everybody needs to come together, the industry needs to come together and start working together and have basic solutions.
Fair. And building a strong team, I guess then you would say, goes off of this, you know, actually investing in the talent that you want to bring in and not just sort of taking them for granted in this space.
Yeah, absolutely. And people will come and leave, Yasmin. This is the phase we're in right now. We have to be patient. We have to teach. We have to learn. The industry is considered new in Saudi. We just need to put, as I said, the time, the effort, and we just need to be patient. And we need to come together and talk and discuss about these issues and have, you know, conclusions together as an industry.
And since we're looking outward, as part of the celebration of Arab News 50 years, we're talking about, you know, what does your industry look like in the next 50 years?
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of talent, I think you're optimistic about that pipeline getting stronger. How do you think about the creative industry overall? I mean, it has changed so much in the past 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
How do you even imagine the next 50?
I imagine the next 50 years for Saudi to be the capital of communications and creativity globally, period.
Wow. what does that look like though? What does marketing or like the, you know, branding, how do brands stay relevant in the next few years?
I think brands have to adapt and have to try and to be open to trying new things. Speaking for example of metaverse, I'll give you a very good example. When the whole metaverse started, mm-hmm. whether, you know, how much we're going to go deep in that. But when we saw that happening, one of the first brands that we saw that went in and invested and did activations on the metaverse was Nike, Coca-Cola, all the big brands. They always stay relevant because they try, they invest, they try new things. So I believe for brands to stay relevant, you have to keep progressing with technology. You have to keep progressing with changes. Don't be resistant and have a good agency. A good company that to work with, we see many of the companies right now are, for example, doing in-house teams, and I believe that's very limiting to creativity. That's very limiting to creativities, to technologies, what's out there, and what could be done. So work with a good agency, and basically be open
to trying
new things.
And if you look back at the past 50 years, what would you say was sort of a transformative moment or a strong occasion in marketing?
The Vision 2030, period.
Of course.
Period. The government today, when they talk about setting, the government right now is doing, they're setting the standard so everybody else can basically follow. And it's the same in our industry. You know, look at the communications that the government is doing. It's amazing. Amazing.
That's true.
And everybody else now is just catching up and following. So I believe the Vision 2030 has changed the game. The size of the industry has grown. And it is expected to grow in Saudi and in the region. But Saudi Arabia today holds the largest share in the region in terms of market size. So Vision 2030 changed the whole game.
And just to wrap up then, any last advice you would have to entrepreneurs or even to company established companies that are thinking about their identity and their brand and how to put themselves out there in the world?
So my advice for any new entity or new company that is basically is basically launching, and it really matters if you are in the e-commerce or you are in the basically retail business or fashion business, whatever it was, is do not underestimate the power of brand and communications. It does sell. We see great products out there, great businesses out there. They just aren't able to communicate it. They're not able to package it properly. So packaging your concept properly, highlighting what needs to be highlighted, your unique selling points, what messages basically to focus on, your packaging, your go-to-market strategy. How are you going to enter that market? How are you? What is your strategy to enter that market? So I believe some entrepreneurs do underestimate the power of marketing and branding. In my perspective, I believe it is as important as having HR, finance in your organization.
As important as the product itself.
As the product, and to be honest, in some cases, it is more important than the product.
That's fair.
To be honest,
that's fair. Yeah.
You see sometimes great products badly packaged and marketed. They do not fly. And sometimes you do see lousy products. Mm-hmm. They're just beautifully packaged, beautifully marketed. I'll give you a small example. Though I wouldn't want to name names. But let's look at Stanley Cup. Mm. I don't know if you've seen the Stanley Cup.
I do not understand why everyone loves
the
those.
The Stanley Cup just had great marketing. It is just a water bottle. It just had great marketing. That's it. They packaged it well. It became a global phenomenon. They started doing collaborations such as Barbie collaborations with films, with movies. So it did change the whole perspective of their business, I think.
I'm excited to see more of that in the Middle East as well. I think you're starting to see more collaborations with influencers, celebrities catching on that wave.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's one of the next trends I'm excited about. Yeah. I don't know if there's one that's sort of on your mind lately.
Meaning of, you said, like, collaborations with, what did you said, with influencers?
Yeah, or celebrities.
Yeah, I mean, for example, one of our subsidiaries is within the production, post-production area. Within, it caters for the film industry, and it does cater for the advertising communications industry. But looking or working closely with the film industry, we're seeing lots of focus right now on brands investing in films, investing with celebrities. I don't know if you've seen last week, I believe, or 2 weeks ago, there's a film called Shabab al-Boom.
Was it at the Ithra Film Festival?
No, it's the highest grossing film right now.
In the cinema.
As a Saudi film, and they did a collaboration with Kudu.
Yes, I heard about this.
Yep.
They sold so much.
They sold, I think, a million meals.
Yeah.
Something crazy like that. A million meals. So, and the meal is for, I think it's 30 riyals, so that's like a 30 million in probably a month period. So, we're seeing these collaborations with films, with stars. Mm. And I think the film industry is also is growing.
Yes.
The communications industry as well is growing. So we will start seeing more of these successes and these collaborations. But they do go hand in hand because, creativity, it's a whole economy. Creativity is not just, art or campaigns or branding. It's a whole chain. It's an ecosystem.
Right. And it's stronger the more you intersect and collaborate together. Yeah, of course, it's a whole economy.
And it intersects with every single industry, by the way, the creative economy itself, retail, real estate, film. So it all comes together to create that, you know, creativity. And from there, you can do great things. And the whole
very
industry
exciting
basically
things.
Flourishes.
Well, thank you so much, Abby. This has been a
thank
real pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Yasmin.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.